In this podcast, I review a musical I saw last Friday night from the Blue Mountains Musical Society called Urine Town. That's a 2001 original production, Broadway musical, written by Greg Coates. And it's on the premise, a fairly complicated premise, and I'll go through the premise with you. And then we'll sort of deconstruct it, see where it's coming from. So the premise is that there's a general drought, a Malthusian end to the human race, and there's a water shortage, and in order to control the water shortage, there's a big control of urination, urinals, and you have to pay to get into a urinal, and of course the poor people can't afford the money. There's a price hike, and there's the rich technical class, which is corruptly running the urinals. There's a sort of mini revolution in which there's a sort of a love scene put into it, and then a revolution, and the people take over the running and make the going to the toilet free, and then there's a calamity at the end that this wrecks the environment and everyone perishes anyway. So there's the view of it. It's rather a disconcerting comic musical with people dying, hostages, and all this type of stuff. And the general sort of meta thesis, if you would like, is this concept which I hadn't seen before, known of, called neo-futurism. That is basically where the actual actors are aware that they're actors and they play themselves acting in there. So there's that large number of devices, including I was suckered in that the ushering into a seat, when they finished doing the ushering job, they were part of the musical itself. So all that complexity. And so neo-futurism goes back to the original deconstruction of what actually comedy is. That's making a taboo subject accessible. And so it's a fairly high-level set of concepts to go in. And so it was quite interesting for me to be in amongst a group of people who, well, they're actually psychologists. And, not necessarily psychologists. There were some sort of fairly straight people. And they found it a bit confronting and stuff like that. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific or explain educational aspects of it. So this is a musical, Urine Town, and at this point I sort of discuss sort of my take on it. Now, my sort of take, I suppose I'm post-operative and I'm just incredibly positive about all things, all food, all experiences there, sort of post survival, post, wow, this is fantastic stuff. So I really enjoy any movie, particularly any community production. So let us, when you think a community production, this is going to be low quality. This was exceptionally high quality singing, choreography, execution in every form. I couldn't fault a single note or a single dance step or a single line, and everything was totally engrossing, and I was completely taken in. And I really enjoyed the, so I give it 20 stars out of 6. So I think it was absolutely fantastic production. And I suppose it sort of made me, I enjoyed the fact that when I saw the poster, I said, I wonder what this is. This is probably not going to be very good. And also the general people and general, it was a generally interesting experience to me, where I said, oh, this is a fantastic multi-leveled thing. And I would speak to other people and they said, oh, it's a bit confrontational. I don't like the premise. They were get sort of, I suppose, perhaps not fully a fade with everything that was going on. There's the reference to the sort of a multi-level parody, which was thoroughly enjoyable. So if you have the concept of the revolution, the French Revolution, Les Misérables, so in a certain sense, it was sort of multiple-level parody. So it's a bit of a parody of Les Misérables and the revolution and the sewers and going between the two groups and the issues of trust. And so that had the sort of operatic sort of stompiness of Les Misérables and the complexity of that. They also had these Australians were pulling off absolutely, for my ears, faultless American accents, and the ability to put various themes, I suppose, almost West Side Story type of American musical stuff across. There was a part where they did the American gospel choir section in it, and that was brilliantly executed, sort of taking it to a point and moving across. Going back to it, it came out in just before September 11. You call it in America 9/11 because you put the month first, and so for us, it's we think, oh, 9/11. We think that's the 9th day of November when you say it, say it to us. But part of it was it wasn't as you thought, and the actual people were taken off to the top of a building, and they have a very beautiful theatric a thing of a puppet falling down off a building. Of course, at 9/11, that would be very hard to process there, so I wonder how that that went across. Just to give you some of the cluing into the neo-futurism, what I sort of liked is that several of these things which we see now, the inspirations go through the graphic novel genre, which is part of the cartoon genre. This is with the word, you know, the classic, the dotted drawings for the colours and the hard art lines and the kapow and stuff like that. So the ability to use that medium in the neo-futurism to bring in the use of the graphic novel. So recently I've seen The Death of Stalin, and so that went through a production phase or incubation in terms of the graphic novel. So the graphic novel actually allows you to trim and cut down reality and reorder it such that you can get a narrative out of it. And I suppose people who are looking, the beauty of looking for things at a comic level, you can say, oh, look, I'm aiming for comic, therefore I'm going to cut the reality content of it, or reorder the system of events, or reorder multiple theories. And so that was definitely, you could see that very much in The Death of Stalin, the fact that it had gone through a graphic novel place, and the fact that it got the major points through, the major dot points through on the Stalinist era, but it then behoved the audience to go back and check and reconstruct correctly. And of course, audiences don't necessarily do that. So in this particular production, there was a beautiful use of a board up saying "Dark Street Corner," another Dark Street Corner, a time later. Similar to the comic aspect of it, and it was beautifully woven in, in terms of basic action and the binding of the heroine with the binding to a chair with obvious ropes, as sort of the classic a comic book. There was sort of a comic book aspect of it, and that was very well done. Done in that aspect. There was also the speaking to the audience, saying that this is a musical. In a musical, saying this is a musical, this is a comic musical, and this will happen in this act. And so to people, to say, I was with people saying who really hadn't seen it before, and said, you know, what is going on? Like, really couldn't comprehend it. So, in essence, I suppose the Broadway Fringe Festival people have become highly, highly educated, not in Shakespeare, but in graphic novels and in this neo-futurism. The self-same people said, look, I found Jesus Christ Superstar really offensive from a religious point of view, and they said that the various representations of it that they saw was inadequate for these various, and they listed the various reasons where people weren't mean enough, tall enough, things went for too long. So they're very much rigorous view of how things should go, and this is definitely to try and transcend a story as a deposition of facts that you can take off. It's more interpretive. And at a particular point in time, there was a conversation or a singing between two actresses or actors, and there was a proposition put forward. The other person said, well, it could be this or that, and then the reference to the fact that this is a musical, and therefore we're only going to take the most obvious route, which is a very clever device to say, look, go away and research it for yourself. I suppose my overall view in the overall actual intellectual comment of this, we're all stuck in a musical at different levels, interpreting at different levels, but all fundamentally running out of resources, and there's a disaster coming along, is all very true. However, sort of technology is really changing the power play and the structure between things. It's allowing these concerts to come up. It's allowing through technology massive food production. There's hope that we can actually solve some of the problems as they come up. But then again, there's the lack of fundamental understanding of the people we're solving the problem from, exactly what we're doing to do it. So I haven't really expressed that, but there's, I suppose, my overall understanding beside this beautiful universe that's created in this musical, there's more to contemplate. So that's, for me, quite a surprising thing to see. I wasn't expecting it. A highly intense musical, and as you can see, my background, I take it as positive as I may. Look, I'm here trying to enjoy things to the absolute maximum. So it was a fantastically produced musical, and a lot of the people are still in school or had retired, and it was absolutely a flawless one. If I had paid a large amount of money to go and see it in Broadway, I'd be very happy if I had seen that particular one. But there again, I'm the 1% of people who's get extracts much more value than the actual cost value of it, and interested in the intellectual components to it. It's very interesting that this neo-futurism in comedy can actually is such a useful way of communicating thoughts when the standard official artistic way of expressing thoughts, say through standard artistic movements, or even cubism or new art reaches a point where it can say, it can't say, the message medium runs out of, gets analysed to a point that it's no longer able to actually transport the actual detailed information. And what happens is that you get a whole societies spread out, sort of like a tidal force, looking at the different degrees of analysis. So there are still people who are looking at upper ladder of analysis and looking at further and further deeper analysis and more high art, you know, ballet and highest culture and paying for it and traveling long distances for it. Yet there's this sort of back door where this person can write this neo-futurist stuff and can actually be injected into a local community and reproduced artistically across. So I think that's something to really think about. And that's my review of Urinetown. If you're in Australia in the lake and up in the Blue Mountains in the next day or so, you should be able to see a few more versions of it. And it's well worth looking at it and looking at it as a parody, a comedy, a comment on the musical genre and the certain feels. Emotionally highly confronting to have someone sort of ambushed and killed. Yeah, as far as I could see, there was stabbings towards the end of it. It's sort of fantastical stuff like that, but that type of stuff is the real hard-nosed end of the terror that people can actually talk themselves into from one terror into another, the actual psychology of that. So I've seen that twice recently in The Death of Stalin and in this musical, where in The Death of Stalin there's just someone's going around and someone just lifts up a gun and shoots someone's, blows someone's brain around. In this one, there's a scene and what appears unnecessary deaths as part of the human process of, if you kill someone, it seems to mean that's done and dusted. I don't have to worry about that argument anymore. And thanks for listening. Keep on thinking, doing, and teaching.